Jesus was hungry as he was with his disciples, and as he was going home to Bethany, he saw a fig tree, and this tree was supposed to have food, was created to feed man. And he went to this tree, and there was no food on that tree, no fruit, or showing signs of fruit. And he said, "You will not have fruit anymore." He just spoke to it, and he left. The next day, as they were coming back, you can read that in Mark 11, the disciples saw that that tree had died. And they asked him, "This tree that you caused, what you said came to pass." Then he told them the principle and the power of speaking the word of God that changes things. But the reason I shared that is because anything that God has designed to serve a purpose in the earth, if that thing is not fulfilling his purpose, that thing is dead without knowing it. The reason Jesus came was not just to save us, it's to fulfill our purpose. If we are just saved, the plan of redemption would have been different. But we're saved so that we fulfill our purpose. So the reason that he says we came out of death to life, from darkness to light, is because what is dead cannot give life. And what is in darkness cannot see light to do what it's supposed to do. So as believers, if we are delivered from death, we should give life. If we are delivered from darkness, we should give light. Amen? Before I was saved, before I got born again, even though in my heart I want to do good, I want to, you know, be useful to my family, to my parents, to the people that are around me, or just to be helpful to people, my ability to do that is limited by my self-centeredness, because I'm not saved. If I, whatever I do is still based on my selfish motive. I just want to do. But the reason God delivered, the moment I got saved, somehow the focus of the acts that God has was to cut down self. And I noticed that as I started surrendering self to God, I found myself becoming available to the needs of people. We cannot be born again and not be helping people. If salvation is just for us and our family, we already do that. We care about our family. But if salvation goes beyond what we can do for our family and we start seeing the needs of other people, then something has shifted from self to the gospel. A tree that does not produce and serve its purpose is because the root system is not functioning. The reason we are believers, it's not to come to church, limited to coming to church on Sunday. It's that our light, our fruit is affecting our environment. If all you're doing is just sustaining your family, that's wonderful. But there are people God wants your life to touch. And that's the purpose. We're here. Amen. Amen. I'm going to touch a little bit about the last. We can cover the word under the worship for for eternity. So I will summarize that today, finish, so that we can go on the word O later. I will continue. But because we're in a special season, I just want to say this to you about this season. This season is one of the greatest seasons, actually the cornerstone of the seasons of why we're here as believers. Everything started on this season, this spring, this first month of the Hebraic calendar. When Jesus came, after 30 years of preparation and 3 years in ministry, when the time came for this particular season, he's gone to Passover all his life. He's gone to the temple 3 times a year. But this particular time, he set his face differently. His focus was different. His attention was different. He knew this was the moment he was sent for. He knew that the world was about to enter a crossroad. And he knew that for that crossroad to take place, there must be a Passover. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. You can put it on just, I can't get to it now, but Revelation 13, 8 says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. That was revealed in Revelations. But the work was finished on the seventh day. God created all things. After he created man, he rested on the seventh day. And he says, I'm finished all his work. Rested on the seventh day. Then he said, the Lamb was slain even before the foundation. On the foundation, before God started, the Lamb was slain. But it was manifested 4,000 years after. We are talking about the Word of God. But let me give you just an example of this, the Lamb was slain in today's world. It does not do justice, but it gives you an idea about God's plan even before man fell. The Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. God's plan is to get man to that place. And this is Genesis, finished all the work, created man, and now started the process. But before he started, like I shared last week, before an architect builds, before the road construction begins, they already have the finished plan. It's not something that they start building and along the road they said, we didn't know what we're doing, we don't know where we're going. The work is finished before you start. God has never been confused in any generation, in any nation, why things are happening. The plan was already finished. We're working it out. Individually work out your salvation and stuff. So now, before God started working things out, knowing what he has created, put a self-will in man, before he started, he says, he already in the plan of the architectural plan, he has planned for the Lamb to show up at the appointed time. In God's plan, in the architectural design, he says, I will provide a Lamb before the foundations of the world. Revelations. So what does that mean? The best understanding so we can move forward is you buy a house or you buy a car. The government actually knowing there is a possibility for mistakes and people can, their whole life can be liquidated. We don't think about it. We say, no, we don't need insurance. We don't need it. We don't need it. But the government has seen what happens. So they set up the system where they allow people to buy insurance. Before you buy a house or you buy a car or you do, they say you must have homeowners or you have this insurance. If you drive a car without insurance, it's against the law. If they leave it to us, we will not. We don't like. But the government knows it's good for us. Because you just don't know. So, he says, before God started his plan, he knew what is a man. He knew what is given, self-will. So he provided an insurance. So when I say insurance, it doesn't do justice to redemption plan. But it gives an idea that you, if you didn't have insurance and you're going from paycheck to paycheck and you just bought this new car, and you're probably doing payments on it, or it's not even paid off, and somebody goes here and just ran into you, and that car is all total. It takes you to bondage of poverty. You don't have car, you can't go to work, you can't do a lot of things, so you're stranded. What does insurance do? They provide you a new car. Because you've paid for it in advance. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the power of the blood. The revelation, the redemptive power of the blood. It's divine insurance. Again, that's not, that word doesn't actually, it's redemption plan. We're going to look at it when we get to the word arrow in worship. Amen? Amen. Redemption plan. So this week that we are in, again, going by the word of the Lord, you know, we've been going through the word of God. In the beginning was what? And the word was wheat. And the word was what? So you cannot, if God is the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God, everything that is God is in God. So anything that is God's plan, if you're part of it, there is no way you can succeed. There is no devil that can destroy. Because everything about God is unchangeable. Amen?
Amen.
So we've gone through that. So that's the reason why when God speaks and say, I want Abraham to have children. I want Joseph, what you're going to do in my plan. He's already finished the plan and he's just bringing that to their understanding. Abraham, you are in my plan. This is what's going to happen. Joseph, you're my plan. David, you're going to be a king. But the moment humanly, as God has told them, they begin to work out this salvation, the devil starts testing the process. Just God allows the devil, allows creation to test the word. He said the word has been tested 7 times. To test it so that whatever is not of God is pushed in between here. So that what is of God always manifests what God has said it will be. So anytime God speaks, the only thing that testing and problems we go through is to remove the things that are not in that God's plan. But for us, we think we are dying. We are gone. Our life is ruined. But God is just removing. He's just manifesting his plan. So that's what this week is about. As we go through a remembrance of it, but it's reminding us when we take communion. Reminder is to let us know that it just not happening. It's already happened. Reminder is don't forget what has taken place. So what do we take communion for? Why does it remind us of this particular week, this season? Amen? Let me read a scripture that will help us get a picture of this. Let's open our Bibles to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, listen to this. It started with, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. Verse 3. God now explains the way God works. For the vision is for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Amen? So what's God saying here? What is he saying to Habakkuk? We're talking about the word of God. So what happened here is this. From Habakkuk chapter 1, Israel, Habakkuk, they are in this crisis. And in the midst of this crisis, because Israel has backslidden, it was bad. It was devastating. It was miserable. And God was, the situation that was happening to them was coming from worldly people. Other nations was being used to judge them. Actually, it was Babylon. Was judging them and putting them under this intense bondage and crisis and, again, limitations. All the bad things that was happening. I want you to see this also on a personal level. The crisis we go through. The things that we are giving up on, the things that we are crying, God, where are you? And all. Habakkuk was there. And Habakkuk, in his cry and in his tears, said, he was almost questioning, God, if you are real, if you're righteous, if you're who you say you are, this doesn't make sense that you say we're your children, and here Babylon or the world, they are oppressing us. They are putting us back into bondage. We're going through this. What kind of suffering is this? If you are our God, if you are our Father, why am I going through this? Why this? Why? It was real question, facts, reality he was going through. And he was a prophet. And in that deep distress that he was in, and we go through this thing, we have questions. So in the midst of his question, God, you are big, you are great, but what is this we're going through? How does people see it outside? What am I feeling? What's going on? He, as knowledgeable as he was, as a man of God, the situation had a lot of questions, like we do. So in his question, he went to pray. He went and stood before God. He was asking these questions, and he says, God answered me. God answered me. Remember, Jeremiah said, call unto God. He will answer you. And he will show you great and mighty things you never realized. So Habakkuk was crying, praying. You remember again, he was going from the crisis in the physical. The problem was coming from the second heaven, and he bypassed and was crying to the third heaven. And God had to give him a picture from this level, beyond this level, to what we're going through from what we shared last week. So he was calling to God, and God says, let me show you how we see it. Not the way what you're going to know, what the devil is doing. Let me show you. So he showed Habakkuk a picture. And he showed Habakkuk what the plan of God is. So Habakkuk was here, going through in the physical world a devastating situation, personally, and Israel bad. Satan had all this plan using Babylon. God allowed it. It was going on. And Habakkuk called out to heaven, third heaven, and God says, let me show you how we see the situation. Let me show you what I'm doing. This is my plan. So God showed Habakkuk the vision. The vision was God opened his eyes to see what heaven's plan is, what has already been finished before time. So when Habakkuk saw it, in other words, he saw beyond the physical, he saw beyond what the devil can do and what the devil, and he saw what God's plan is. And when he saw it, he was shaken. He was so shaken, he said, my God, this makes me tremble. If you read the rest of the chapter, Habakkuk trembled. And he said, the purpose of all this, when I intervene, and during my intervention, What I will do will cause the knowledge of my glory to go around the whole world. But before then, as soon as Habakkuk saw, you remember last week, I hope those of you that are not here, you can go listen to it. Last week, God showed us the difference between the third heaven. I use this illustration. The third heaven, this is third heaven. And I use this illustration as the second heaven where the demons and principalities, and I use this as where we are, the physical world, and what we go through. Whether it's from the devil and things happening here, I illustrated to you how everything is already, if you see it from God's angle, you step into that stillness. And that comes to prayer. So now, what God is doing in their day is already been planned. So Israel sinned. Israel was in a bad situation. God allowed the Babylonians through their satanic power to go through the suffering. But in the process, it's already part of God's plan. God says, I will bring you out. And when I bring you out, you will be more glorious. You'll be better than you ever was when I brought you out of Egypt. God had a redemptive plan to make it better than ever. Amen? Amen. 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 If you're driving Volkswagen in those days or whatever, small car and then your car crash or something, and the insurance, of course, insurance won't do that, but God's insurance can. Your insurance says, I will buy you a Range Rover, brand new. That's more than redemption, isn't it? You can't hold on to that Volkswagen. It's giving you something you never deserve. So that's how God redemption is. He says, I will bring you out of this and I will make you glorious again. And the knowledge of what I will do, the world will know. But this is what God said. You need to write it down. Why? Write it down so that people can see my plan ahead of time. Because Habakkuk, even though you're in this situation and I've shown you the plan, you are still facing the situation because the plan I've given to you is for an appointed time. It will come to pass after you go through, after you come through. Now, what God showed to Habakkuk was very, very serious. You can go read the rest. So, the enemy was ruling here. Is it a financial situation you're going through? Is it sickness? Is it frustration? Is it pain? Is it bondage? Is it whatever, mental? You don't see, whatever is happening in your world here, from the world, from the pain, God is saying, I have a plan for to redeem, to restore, and make you what I plan for you to be. But meanwhile, God says, I have to deal with the enemy. It's after I deal with the enemy, then I'll restore you so that the enemy will not have place in your life again. That was the plan. When God showed Habakkuk what he will do to the enemy, Habakkuk even was, Israel is suffering. You are going through something and you don't like it. And God says, I will set you free, but this thing you're going through, I'm going to deal with the enemy. I'm going to deal, when I finish with the enemy, then I'll restore your glory. When he saw what God was going to do to the enemy, because it's the word, Habakkuk trembled. He shook. And God gave him the rest of the scripture. But what he was going to do to the enemy will affect everybody, affect the world. Let me pause here as I'm saying this before we continue. The purpose of the church, And the purpose of the gospel is not that we always come here. Through prayer, God reveals things. For many years, we've been warning about what is literally happening at this point. It looks like it will never, ever even come close to happening. But it has started. When God warns us of something, it's not to put fear in us. It's to give us hope because we have an idea what God's plan is. But that hope is for us to position ourselves and be in alignment with the plan of God. Amen? Amen. Right now, as believers, you might not be, but as believers, as a church, if somebody tells us that we are asleep, we'll not believe it. Because the reason we are believers, some of us are not living it out. Today, all we do is me, I, and my family. That's all we are laboring for. What God's plan is, even for a church to travel for the city, we are not even going in that direction. Our gifts, our plan, it's just about me, my career, and what I want to be. What is God's plan in the process? So if you say we are asleep, you will not. So the reason why God always wakes Israel or wakes up the church is to wake up the bridegroom, the fight, is to wake us up to function in our capacity by the Spirit to reach a generation. So God says, I will shake Babylon, I will do this, and I will do all that, and then from there, I will set you free and you can now function. So today, we don't think and we don't sit and say, why? What's going on in Iran? What's going on in Russia? Why is it going on? What's going on in Ukraine? What's going on here? What's going on there? Hey, we love children. We are on the same page. Just relax. Take care of him. Amen. We don't think that some things we get to a point where we can be affected. How do we position ourselves? When it was happening, Ukraine and Russia, there was no need for America to be involved. There was no need for Europe to feel, Europe was feeling the pressure of it. But a shaking has started after COVID, after this, after that. So because it doesn't involve me, so I don't want to say, God, what's going on? What's happening? Let me just live life as always. Just not to cut the long story short, because we're going somewhere. Now, as I'm talking to you, why will America send 3,500 Marines to the Middle East? Just think. Nobody wants to do that if you're not seeing what the rest of the world is not seeing. There's a purpose. Something is happening, and God is trying to get the church to prepare and to pray. And we're just watching television thinking it's a drama. There's a reason in the secular world why the CIA and FBI are protective agents of a country. They see and they know things the normal people don't, and they do things about it. That's who we are called to be as Christians. We are to see from the Spirit and do things about it as watchmen in the Spirit. We can't just live like Christians and flow with the world. Something is happening and God is saying, don't see it from the natural. Prepare yourself. Amen. And whatever it is, it's not for your bad. But there will be a shaking, but it's for you to enter into God's plan for you. But if you don't understand it, you will, like the rest of the world, you go into fear and think this has to do with you. No, it has to do with a redemptive plan. So God told Habakkuk, you're in this bad situation. Israel is not functioning. I'm going to do something. When I shake the enemy, you go read it. When I finish what I'm going to do with Babylon, then you're going to come out. But what the process God was going to use was going to affect everybody. But the whole purpose is to redeem Israel. Amen. Let me give you another example. And then we'll get to this season, Christ. Exactly this season, God spoke to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I have a plan. In the plan, it's finished. I want to show you this aspect of the plan, the architectural plan. Abraham, along the way, your children are going to end up in a land called a foreign land. And when they are there, they will multiply. And when they are there, that time, I will bring them out. And when I bring them out, I'm going to bring them to this land where you are, because I'm making a covenant with you that I'll give you that place. So God spoke that to Abraham even before Jacob was born. God spoke that to Abraham even before Isaac was born. He was telling him, this is my plan. It will go through a timeline, but these are some of the cornerstones of that timeline. Watch out for it. So 400 and something years after then, the children of Joseph ends up in Egypt. And he ends up in Egypt, became a prominent person. There was through a shaking, became prominent, and the children of Israel multiplied there in the land of Goshen. They were the best, they were everything. Suddenly, after about a few years, Joseph has passed. The vision couldn't continue. And the Pharaoh that rose up says, you know what? Switched it around. And they ended up from top to bottom. And for the next 400 years, their mindset was transformed to be in bondage. But when it was time, God says, at the appointed time. Now remember, this is God's plan. That let those things happen at the appointed time, I will bring them out. So when the time came, it was this season. He says, this is how I'm going to bring them out. I'm letting the devil walk through the Egyptians to operate here. But when I will bring them out, I will shake the gods of the Egyptians. I will shake the land of Egypt. I will shake Pharaoh. And by the time I finish shaking, I will bring you out so you can enter into your promise. But when they had the vision, they had it, the shaking, they were not immune to the environment. The shaking was in the same Egypt where they will be. War, Ukraine. War, Russia. Now America is in war. You're sending 3,500. You are in war. The feet is on the ground. So, shaking is multiplying. So now, Pharaoh. This has to do with sometimes when we're waiting on God, God is moving, we say, how long? I go through it, I cry. Anytime there's a delay, God is working even a greater plan for you. He will do what is promised, but it's going to be even further glory. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God started shaking Egypt. When you read about the 10 plagues, because you didn't leave it, because it's just a story, you think it's just something casual. It was the first time, apart from the days of Noah, apart from the days of Egypt, God weaponized the elements of this world and used this as a weapons of war to devastate Egypt. From flies to ants to weather to this, he weaponized it, darkness, elements of this world to fight war against Pharaoh. And when God was doing all that, Egypt was a mess. It's like bombs going from one season to another. Storms, crops, everything was one hit after the other. But Pharaoh's mind was still hardened. And God says, I allowed it. In the midst of it, Israel was there. Israel was there. You will have to prepare for what is coming. So we can serve our purpose. We thought reward is going to only be certain people is entering somewhere. The war that is already started has already a little trace on our gas pump here. God shook Egypt, but the children of Israel were not in the moon before they were in Egypt. But God distinguished them because they were in covenant with him. And because it was God's time. He shook, did everything. God put a mark, put a protection. And he says, everything that was happening in Egypt never happened in the land of Goshen. Because of covenant. It never affected the children of Israel. But they were in the shaking. They were not out of it. But they were not affected. They were distinguished. COVID came, it happened to everybody. Both Christians and non-Christians. Were you ready for COVID? What would distinguish you? What would make sure that you're protected? When things happen, what would make you know that I'm safe? Because you have covenant with God. Where are you positioned? So, whatever happened to Pharaoh, whatever happened to Egypt, the children of Israel were there. But it did not affect them. So, what happened? This season reveals God's redemptive plan. In the physical, it was the story of the children of Israel. And God told them, he says, I want to do something. And our sister Nancy just covered it very well during our break tonight. God says, I'm going to do something now that is a pro. This is how vision works. This is how my plan works. I'm going to bring you out, and when I bring you out, it will be the height of the shaking. When I bring you out, I'm going to bring you out with wealth, strong and healthy. So God told them, this is a plan. I'm going to have you have lambs for a family. Amen? And this midnight, after you've put the blood on your doorpost of your houses, you stay in there, but stay in there, but get ready to leave. I saw God communion today. Before you can come out of somewhere, somebody has paid a price for you. You have to know a price has been paid. And the price for every family was an innocent lamb, animal. He said, take this and put it a sign, write it on your doorpost. That is clear that when I pass through it, I know you are distinguished because of that. You are separate and nothing will happen to you. Your covenant. So God passed through every home in Egypt, every home to Pharaoh's house. Again, this is showing you, no matter what the Egyptians were doing, no matter Pharaoh was doing, it was just the time God gave. When is God's time? Third heaven always rules. So Pharaoh cried, you can go out now. Why? It's God's time. God closes. They can't come out in Egypt. But when God opens, no man can shut. Pharaoh said, it's God's time. It's open the door. Please go. They pressure them to go. He said, we're not just going empty. We want our money back. We want our children. We want our donkeys. We want everything that belongs to us and more. The Bible says they plundered Egypt. It's the same principle that will happen in these last days. It's called wealth transfer. So they came out and it's called Passover lamb. Passover lamb. Why is it a Passover lamb? Because a sacrifice is the only way you can be free from Egypt. You can be free from financial bondage. You can be free from emotional devastation. You can be free from all psychological, mental. Everything that is in Egypt is intended to destroy your spirit, soul, and body. Still kill and destroy. But God came through the blood to restore life and life abundant. Life abundant means everything you lost physically, soulishly, emotionally, and spiritually is restored in abundance. That's the price of redemption. So really quickly, because you all know that story. Exactly this same season, Jesus knew the time has come. After 33 years. This time around, I'm not that miracle worker. I'm not that everything you see. This time around, I'm about to put on the worst of the criminals, the worst of every perversion, every wickedness sin can provide, every sin that came from Adam and the consequences, I'm about to put it on. I'm about to become sin, literally sin. I'm about to put on iniquity in my flesh. And I'm about to take a journey. I'm about to become a lamb slain for both those that were born physically before and those that will come after to make it to heaven. He started a journey today. Enter Jerusalem. The people that used to know him, the people that saw the miracles, the people that just excited about, they said, the hour has come. He's about to use his power and everything he has to dethrone the Roman Empire. It's about to supernaturally start a war. And he's about to take, and he's about to, even his disciples understood that this is the hour. So they were pumped and put palms on the ground, rose the donkey. Our king has come. Deliverance has come. Amen. They were so excited, but they did not understand the blueprint of God. All they understood was what they saw physically. So just again, to fast forward in God's plan, because we're going to pray. Jesus wanted to wake them up and say, I don't think you understand this season. And he told them, he said, you don't understand. This hour is the hour I was born for. Let me explain it to you from the way you can relate in the physical world. I'm about to be glorified, but before I'm glorified, this is the way it happens. I'm a corn that is about to be sown in the ground. And when that corn dies, he can produce corn after his own image. I'm about to walk into a redemptive insurance plan that will make everything man used to be obsolete. And about to bring in a brand new species, sons of God, into the universe. That will be like me. But I can't duplicate them unless I die. So use a farmer's principle. The way they didn't still understand it. So as they got close, he said, you are like close to me, you've been with me, but I'll tell you what's about to happen. Why did he know? Because my brother, just like we have this Bible, is a finished blueprint. Road construction, architects know where they are in the plan. So he told them, he says, guys, in God's plan, from what I see from the third heaven, I will die. And the plan says, after 3 days, I'll rise again. They said, what? What are you talking about? Peter said, you don't say that. It will never happen to you. He said, you're speaking from Satan's angle. came from your human mind. That's not God's plan. That's Satan's plan. If I don't go to this cross, there is no insurance for you. There's no redemption. It's better for you. My brothers and sisters, God's plan for the last days, people don't want to read it. We will be shaken. Because it's the only redemptive plan. We are too far gone to self. We are too introvert. We are lost. God has to bring us back. Some of you are already back. But God's desire is not that any man will go to hell. This temporary world we live in, we are so far lost in ourselves that we think that's eternity. That's just a vapor of time. Why will God, who created us, be not care enough to allow this vapor of time to make it think that's eternity for us? No. He knows what he has for us. He knows if he doesn't rearrange our plan, we will not make it to eternity. Amen? But to show you that facts are real to us, Jesus, when he was in his human form, said, "This is hard. Is there no other way?" But then, because he has read he understood the plan, that this is what is going to cost. I must become the real lamb. The shadow was bulls and goats to bring them out of physical Egypt. But now, for them to connect to heaven, for them, the Gentiles, everybody in the world, to remove every demarcation, every labeling, everything the enemy has divided the world, your poor, your this nation, your that, all this evil that iniquity has brought to separate man. He says the only way to unite everybody into one destiny, into one glorious heaven, and there is no limit of the provision, I must die. I must give up everything. And that's what this season is about. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Let me tell you, history never changes. Those who study history will become the story of success. Those who deny history will become victims. Let me tell you why. When God tells us to prepare for his plan, we take it lightly. When history begins to manifest, we become like those we read about that never made it. But if we obey and prepare, the cost of preparing ahead of time, we'll be like those we read about who became the redemptive remnant for many to come to the kingdom. So everybody that prepared for what was going to happen, God used them for redemption. Jesus was just 30 years old and served 33 years, and he knew he can. What he was sent here to do is just going to last 3 years and it's gone. But it was not easy. It was a cross. It wasn't easy. But that price he paid in this season gave birth to the church, gave birth to us. We were Gentiles. There is no way we can be in God's plan. His death grafted us in. He paid a great price. He didn't just save us from sin. He made us to be God's children. Inheritance. This happened in this season. We call it Easter resurrection. So, if Jesus did not know the plan of God, he would not go to the cross. It's too... Peter was right. Peter was right from the world view. Peter was looking at things from the world's view. Here you are riding on a donkey. You've done miracles no man has done. We know you as Messiah. We know you to be king. Now we are all behind you, hailing you to become king, hailing you to take your place now supernaturally. And you're telling us these human beings will beat you, slap you, put you, spit on you, and kill you. Who has the power to do that? How can that happen? It's not going to happen. That's a worldview. So when they saw it, he said, Peter, you'll see it very soon. Before the cock crows, you'll see what I'm saying. He took off the robe of his power, everything, and stepped into that lamb's cloth. And took on whatever the wrath of God's judgment is that would have come upon all of us. And he took each step. It was beaten. It was humiliated. It was lied against. It was witnessed against. And what makes it painful, my brothers and sisters? Thousands of people he fed food. Thousands of people he healed, turned against him, crucified him, kill him. Why? Because they have eaten deception from the high priest. The religious world has said, he's the problem, he's the problem. And they believed it. And they started, kill him, crucify. These are people he has served for 3 years. Deception. It was his time. His own disciples that followed him day by day. Peter denied him. They ran away. Because it was not their time. Everybody ran away. He was a lamb. It was just time. But it was God's plan. It was God's plan. He knew it. He knew the cost. Pay the price. Because he had me. He had you to make it to heaven. Finally, he paid the price. Everybody has gone. He was on that cross, and his father was judging him because he's now seen. Elu Lamash Tabash. My God, even you has forsaken me. Sin. Finally, he said, it's finished. Everything from Genesis that Satan planted into the earth, everything that sin can do, every repercussions, consequence of sin, we call it sickness, we call it diseases of all diverse kinds. You can put names on it. We call it poverty. We call it whatever. It came from sin. These are just a product of it. Emotional, psychological devastations. Soulish bondages. Mental, everything that sin can do, he paid the price on that cross. And then he said, if you will receive me, my blood is a receipt for your healing. Because by my stripes, this blood I've shed is a token, is the receipt that I have paid the price for you to be healed, free, rich. I've become poor, you're rich. I've sinned, you take my righteousness. I am I am now sick, carrying the consequence of disease and all the things. Now you can have my health. All is in the blood. Before we pray about the season, I want to explain this to you. A few years ago, the Lord told me to give away my car. I didn't have a car to drive, but he told me to do it. I didn't have a car, so I was driving the church van and managing. It was a step of faith, but I heard his voice. It was not presumption. After a few weeks, somebody said, "You don't have a car? I'll buy you a car." And the person told me, "Go to the parking lot and choose any car you want. Honda of Cleveland." I could have chosen any car. It doesn't matter. Any car. Just choose any car. He paid cash for it. Choose any car. So, because I know if I choose something too much, people will say it's church money. If I choose something too low, people will say, "Why did you waste the blessing?" So I just chose that Honda. So I can carry people, do stuff, and travel and do. So I went. All I did was went and picked it up. Why? It's been paid for. It's no more, it doesn't belong to the dealership anymore. I came, showed them my name, showed the person that paid for it, sent somebody with me, they showed receipt, take the car and go. Paid for. Jesus said on that cross, it's paid for. Everything is paid for. Now you can go with my name, and because you are now my blood, you can ask anything and you have it, but you have to believe it. Nothing is impossible, meaning there is nothing that has not been paid for. And there's nothing heaven doesn't have the power to replace, because insurance has been covered. And you have the insurance from the foundations of the world. I gave you insurance, and now the insurance has been through my blood. I am your insurance. Past, present, future, paid for. If you sin, you fall, you make mistakes, all you need to say, "Forgive me," is wiped out. As if it never happened. If you're sick, heal me, but you have to believe it will happen. You're poor, of course, make sure you're a giver. If your hands are closed, God can give you. How can you receive when your hands are closed? Your hands have to be open for you to receive from God. People's hands that are closed only live with what they have. But if you want supernatural blessing, you have to also be a giver. There are principles. You have to be a believer. So my brothers, this season, if you forget anything else that the blood represents, say, "Do this in remembrance." He's not saying, "Do this so that I can do it again." No, he said, "Do it for what?" Take communion to remind you of what has already been done for you, for me. Remind yourself what I have done. I have paid the price. Don't carry guilt. Just repent. It's gone. Don't carry burdens of this. Give it to me because I care for you. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Trust me, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I paid the price. Don't let the enemy come and accuse you. Show him the receipt. The blood is being paid for. And the devil will flee from you. Say, resist the devil with what? The blood. It's been paid for. And the word of God. You overcome by the blood and the word of God. Because you have a testimony. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you again, a shaking has begun. Don't wait until it's too late for you to position yourself. America is not immune. Only the people that are immune to what is going to happen all over the world are believers. It will not affect you if you're a believer. It didn't affect them in Egypt. It didn't affect them in Babylon. You can go read all through the Bibles. Whenever God is doing this kind of a thing, believers are exempted. Amen. You must be a believer. Hallelujah! If somebody's sleeping, tell them, just as long as you share dreams with us, amen? God is giving to you. Because for you to sleep in church means you must have a revelation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and we'll pray. Here is what we used to be. And here is what we need to believe God we are through Christ in this season. Number one, debt. D, two D's. We came from death. Now we have life. Amen? We came from darkness. Now we have what? Light. What are these things given to us from the beginning? Was the Word, and the Word was with God. Give us life, give us. What does this life and this light give to us? Three P's. We now live in the presence of God. Amen? One P, presence of God. Two, we have a provision that can never run dry, no matter what happens in the world. God is our provider. Three, we have a protection that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, no matter what happens during the day and the night, spirits, physical, whatever, he says you have a protection. So let's pray. Because of the blood. So you and the Lord, just ask the Lord, do I believe? Father, do I believe what you are saying? If you believe, then ask the Lord, make me a believer. I am yours. Your grace has brought me this part. Your grace will keep me. Your grace will carry me. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you now. I honor your presence now in this place. Father, I thank you that not a soul in this place will look at what is happening in this season. That you give them eyes to see from the third heaven, see beyond the physical, and know their life, their foundation is built on Christ, the solid rock. Father, I thank you for the revelation you brought us to life, and this life is your life. You brought us from darkness, caused us to see the light in the midst of darkness. Thank you, Father, that your presence is our security, is our divine insurance, even in times like this. Father, thank you. You are our provider. You said the lions, even the young lions, but those who put their trust shall never lack any good thing. Father, thank you that by your blood in this season, you're reminding us that we have hope, that divine health comes through your blood, Jesus. Miracles, transformation, by your Spirit. So I speak to everyone here now. Instead of coming out, I was going to ask you to come out, but I just want you to just lift up your faith from your heart and just lift your hands wherever you are. I want to pray right now what the Lord put in my spirit for this season over you and your family. It's a season of open doors and a season of closed doors. I declare today in the name of Jesus, just like you closed the door of Pharaoh, just like you closed the door of Egypt and all the bondages that came through, with the blood of the Lamb, Father, today as we enter this season, I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, let every door of the past, let every accusation of the past, let everything that is holding people to their past be terminated by the voice of the blood. Every experience in Egypt, Father, today I thank you that there is healing, there is deliverance, there is hope, there is life in the blood of the Lamb. Father, today I lift up the banner of the blood. You said they came out of Egypt, none of them was feeble. They came out of Egypt, they came out in wealth, they came out in strength. Father, this season I thank you that by the blood of the Lamb I cancel the bondages, financial bondages, financial weights, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the blood of the Lamb will open all doors of transition into financial health and freedom, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that in this season you brought Joshua out of the wilderness, out of the dry place, out of the place of training. I thank you for everyone here that has gone through dry times, that has gone through the wilderness, that has gone through times of transformation, that has gone through years of expectation. As you brought Joshua in this season into the promised land by crossing Jordan, I pray today there will be a crossover in this season. Because of the Passover, because of the blood, I pray for a new season of crossing over to a place of refreshing, a place of hope, a place of breakthrough. In this season, let there be fresh encounters, let there be fresh revelations of your goodness and your mercy. Father, I thank you. In this season, establish your people. Let their hope, faith be built on you, the solid ground. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fresh encounters, healing, miraculous encounters in this season. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. If you receive it in Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
If you really believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you agree with what God has spoken over you, say amen.
Amen.
Let's shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Amen. Amen.